Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited to get my longtime friend Jack Wang with us from Longhorn Financial. Going to talk a little bit about college planning today. As always, please remember Jack's joining the show for informational purposes. It's not financial advice. As always, seek a qualified financial planner before you do anything in your life. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thanks for the invite, Kevin. Always great to be on.
So, Jack, it's really funny to me because we have this segment in September. The students have literally just gone in for a week, 10 days, and it's a high school, and we're like, hey, we got to start planning for college. But that's really when you get to do
right.
it, junior, preferably, you know, sophomore, junior year, not at the end of senior year, right?
Yeah, of course. It's never too early to start, even sophomore year, even though most people would think that, you know, the, sort of the natural timing is probably junior year or even the summer in between junior year and senior year. But as I told my own stepdaughter, who is now a sophomore, it's not too early. And, you know, you can start eliminating some schools, really figure out sort of what you like about a school, right? Large school, small school, whatever. And the search really is part of the financial aid process. So it's not just let's look for the sake of looking, but also let's look to, you know, kind of keep the money aspect in mind also and really kind of think about how they go together.
Yeah, now, like you said, it definitely makes perfect sense to me. But I find a lot of people, they don't think about it. They're like, it's going to be fine, Kev. You know, we'll deal with it later. Obviously, the earlier the better. It makes perfect sense and stuff. So now
right. You
got a lot of parents trying to figure out, you know, where the kids are going to get accepted and then figuring out the money. So you see both issues are really one combined issue, right?
Right. Of course. It's so funny. This is the traditional sort of college searches. Let's figure out where our kid can get into school, right? Figure out sort of the right school. And hopefully, right, key word there, hopefully they get some scholarships. And then whatever it is, then we'll figure out how to pay for it, right? And that's really, that process is very common. And in my mind, it's almost like you go car shopping, you figure out that the Ferrari is the right car for you. And then you figure out, okay, now how am I going to pay for this Ferrari? But that's really the wrong way to go about it, in my opinion, is because as you're looking for colleges and looking for that right school that they're going to love, with, you know, the beautiful campus or whatever it is that you're looking for, you know, you want to keep in mind sort of how the monetary aspects fit in, because schools look for different things, different factors and characteristics. So each school is essentially going to recruit or sell themselves to each student, and how much they sell themselves by virtue of how much scholarship money they give is going to be based on how they view the student relative to all of the other students. And so it's helpful for parents to know sort of what's required to get in, but, you know, sort of how realistic scholarship is. And so just as an example, a local private university last year to get in, the average GPA was 3.5 out of 4.0. And so a lot of parents say, oh, my kid is a 3.5 or 3.6. That means they can get in. And that's really good. Yes, that's true. However, this school isn't cheap. And I found out that the GPA that you needed to actually get a scholarship was a 3.9 out of 4.0.
Yikes.
So you can get in with a 3.5, 3.6, 3.7, but you're not going to get any money. Well, that changes the game, right? So, yeah, you might ultimately choose to send your kid there, but you're going to be paying a lot more. So it's good to figure out that out up front, obviously, versus sort of at the end and your kid's committed and obviously get the bill. And then you realize, oh, no, how come they didn't get a scholarship, right? Figure that stuff out up front.
Makes perfect sense. Now, Jack, from a financial aid standpoint, does it make a difference to apply for admissions earlier?
Not always, but in some cases it does. Again, financial aid is, to a certain extent, is a zero-sum game, meaning like there's a fixed pot of money and you want to get in when there's a lot of money in the pot. And obviously, you know, the more that you want, you know, the more you get, the better. But it also, by definition, means that the more you get, the less someone else gets. So that's where sort of that figuring out where your student is relative to other students is important. But there are some cases that where it actually matters. So a local private university, very prestigious, they have a scholarship program that's full tuition, room and board, like full, you know, all in, right, full ride. And kids can apply to that. And normally at this particular school, if you apply so-called regular decision, which means you can apply a little bit later and take your time to think about it, the normal deadline isn't until January 1st. But if you actually want to shot the scholarship, you can still apply regular decision. But if you want to shot the scholarship, you have to get your application in by November 1st, even though it's so-called regular decision. And so you want to make sure you look for those types of things because you don't want to lose out on $10,000 or some amount of money because you applied a day late, right? Even if you, even if your student qualified based on SAT scores and GPAs and whatever else that they'll look for, you know, if you're a day late, you're done. So you got to pay attention to those deadlines. So sometimes it can help by applying early, but really pay attention to the deadlines.
Now, Jack, one of the things that I really don't know anything about, but you hear people talking about it a lot, is how should I save money? Should I save it in my child's name? Should I save it in my name? How does that all play into this? Does it play into it?
Yeah, so great question. And it's a very common question. You see things out on the internet like, oh, never saving your child's name or what have you. I was actually just having a conversation with a family the other day where this exact issue came up. And once I looked at their information, the family made a lot of money. So they weren't in line to get a lot of financial aid, right, based on their income and assets. So saving in their kid's name in their situation actually doesn't matter. And there are situations where it's actually more advantageous to save in your kid's name. But there's also other times where if you're lower income or the cost of the school is really high or something where you are likely to get aid, then yeah, you don't want to save in your kid's name because it can hurt more. However, the one big miss on this is debt. And so many, many families sort of implicitly think, I have the car loans, I have the credit cards, I have a mortgage on my house, I have a home equity loan on my house, I still have a little bit of college debt myself, you know, as the parent, blah, blah, blah. There's no way the school is going to expect me to pay a lot of money because I, quite frankly, I can't afford it, right, because I have all this other debt. Well, that actually doesn't matter. Schools don't ask about it. And so it doesn't play into the formula at all. So one of the best ways that people can sort of get ready to pay for college is to manage that debt down, right? Because the better you manage your debt down, the more money frees up per month and the more you can throw to college and hopefully avoid more debt.
Now, Jack, one of the things I see happen a lot is the parents and the children don't have an honest conversation about college. You know, sometimes the students just assume that, you know, you're my parents, you must be paying for my college. And I see it go the other way. We're like, well, you've been working and saving money, so we assume you're going to use that money. As soon as you really have that sit down and manage expectations before you start applying, so the student knows, hey, we're expecting you to take out loans to pay for this versus, you know, mom and dad tapping the equity in their house. Isn't that important?
Oh, absolutely. It's the most critical conversation that a family can have about paying for college, right? This is beyond sort of where they're going to go. You know, and this is really kind of the origin of how students get into trouble with, you know, the stories of, oh, I have $200,000 in debt or $1 million in debt or whatever. And same thing on the parents, too, is like you said, kid says, hey, my job's to get in. I got in. Mom and dad, here's the bill for $70,000. Pay it. Right? I mean, that's just crazy. You know, whereas Whereas mom and dad might be thinking, well, little Sally got in, she had really good grades, and we were kind of hoping that the scholarships knocked that $70,000 bill down to $10,000. You know, and so it's huge differences in expectations. And so what unfortunately happens all too often is families don't have that conversation. And then they essentially get trapped because little Sally or little Johnny says, I want to go to the University of Chicago, which is just a tick under $80,000 per year. Holy smoke. And, you know, parents don't have the conversation. They don't really think about it. And then next thing you know, they send a deposit in and little Johnny, little Sally's committed. And the parents are on the hook to pay $80,000 a year. You're out of your mind. I mean, well, to me anyway. Got to have that conversation up front so you don't have that, you know, disappointment and crying and fighting later. Yeah, it's crazy, but so many people don't have that conversation, but they really should.
Yeah, like you said, you know, I liked what you said because, you know, having that conversation with your child saying, okay, look, you know, if you go and take $200,000 worth of loans to pay for this education, this is the impact it's going to have on your life. We'll be trying to buy a car or a home, whatever it's going to be. Because a lot of times, you know, you just can't think it out. You're like, hey, it's always been my dream to go to that school for whatever reason, and I'm going to do what it takes to get there. And then like, we both know so many people who've done this, and it really has a huge impact on the rest of their lives. They're not able to, you know, get car loans or buy a mortgage because their debt ratios are so high. Got to think that out, right?
Right. Yeah, of course. I mean, there's plenty of news stories out there on students having a ton of student debt, you know, from recent years. But I'd be willing to bet that as we move forward in time, we will start to see more and more stories on parents who are carrying the burden of their student debt, you know, for their kids, right? And can't retire, this and the, you know, and all the stuff that, you know, that you see in those stories. So it really can have a huge impact, as we're seeing already with the students who have a lot of debt today.
You know, because like you said, we've both seen it. I call it buying brand names. You know, a school has that brand name, and you're like, oh, I just want to be able to have the T-shirt, you know, with that brand name on it. But you don't consider, you know, the alternatives. You know, hey, this school is really well known for that program. Although, you know, it's the first thing people think about, it's a great school and considerably cheaper. So shouldn't they look based on their major to find schools that may have great programs they might not think about off the top of their heads?
Oh, of course. Yeah, people do get sort of suckered into the brand name, right? I often ask people, you know, things like, well, do you buy store brand macaroni cheese or do you have to have the Kraft brand macaroni cheese? Right. And 99 times out of 100, the parents say, oh, no, we buy store brand. We're okay with store brand. But then when it comes to their kids, they're effectively saying nothing is as good as Kraft macaroni and cheese. Right? It has to be the brand name. And, you know, for all sorts of reasons, if they don't go to the brand name, they won't get a job. If they don't go to brand name, they can't get into medical school. I mean, whatever. Right. And that's just simply not true at all. And there are some excellent programs at all schools. It really just comes down to finding the right fit because, honestly, hey, you can flunk out of Harvard just like you can, you know, flunk out anywhere, right? Or you can do awesome at Harvard just like you can do awesome anywhere. It's really kind of what the kids make of their experience, right? It's not really the name of itself, the name of it. And, you know, parents have to remember, you know, if you think back as a parent, anybody, how often are you asked where you went to college, right? In your own job today, how often, you know, if you're vice president or whatever, how often do you ask where you went to undergraduate? And the answer is basically never. It just doesn't happen anymore. So don't just look the brand names. Get the store brand macaroni and cheese. It'll be okay.
So, Jack, got about 30 seconds left. What's your contact information? How can people learn more, my friend?
Yeah, people can always find me on Facebook at facebook.com/LonghornFIN, short for Longhorn Financial, or people can email me at jack@longhornfin.com.
Jack, appreciate you taking the time out of the day to call on the show, and as always, thanks for being my friend.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Yep, bye now.